Thank you very much. Today, the prayer person was going to be Lee Kirkpatrick, but his wife Diane is here in his place, and she will explain the situation to you. Diane?
He's pretty
good. Thank you. Lee was really excited when he was invited by Judith to do the opening prayer on the 21st of October. And then no sooner did that happen, he was invited by his former employer to do a project, and that's why he hasn't been here this past month. And then, to top it off, on today, he is at Cottage Hospital as we speak and about to have heart surgery. So it's just like, the way it's happened. And he really wanted to share with you, so I will be reading his medication and then head over to Cottage. Okay. As I read the chapters for this week, several thoughts kept coming up. The first was that neither Jesus or Luther was trying to start a new religion or church. Others did that after him. Jesus only tried to bring a new covenant to the Jews and everyone else. Luther only wanted to reform the church. As I thought about how hard it is to reform from within, I kept thinking about the group of friends I have come to know through Word and Life and the values we share. Two phrases that would not go away. Luther's characterization of Christians as the priesthood of all believers, and the expression from the title of a seminar, "Who will minister to the ministers?" This led me to Henry Nouwen's book, The Wounded Healer. As you hear these words from the conclusion of that book, remember that I think of you as the priesthood of believers. I quote, "I describe hospitality as the central attitude of the minister who wants to make their wounded condition available to others as a source of healing. The imitation of Christ does not mean to live life like Christ, but to live your life as authentically as Christ lived his. Then there are many ways and forms in which a person can be a Christian. The minister is one who can make this search for authenticity possible, not by standing on the side as an impartial observer, but as an articulate witness of Christ, who puts their own search at the disposal of others. This hospitality requires that the minister know where they stand and whom they stand for, but it also requires that they allow others to enter their lives, come close to them, and ask them how their lives connect with each other. Nobody can predict where this will lead us, because every time a host allows themselves to be influenced by their guests, they take the risk of not knowing how this might affect their life. It is exactly in common searches and shared risks that new ideas are born, that new visions reveal themselves, and that new roads become visible. We do not know where we will be in 2 years or 2 weeks. What we can know is that people suffer, and a sharing of that suffering can make us move forward. The minister is called to make this forward thrust credible for their many guests, so that they do not stay, but have a growing desire to move on in the conviction that the full liberation of people in this world is still to come. Let's pray. God the Father, thank you for the blessing of this gathering. Christ the Son, thank you for your new covenant in our lives. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to your gifts. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. And also, let's keep Lee in our prayers today as he's undergoing the heart surgery. So, today, as we go through the people's history of Christianity, we are coming to the Reformation period. And we have today a minister from the Lutheran Church who will give us some insight as to the Lutheran and Martin Luther himself and where things were going at that point in time. Our speaker today is Lynn, and she is from Grace Lutheran Church. She has been an ordained minister for 32 years, so she really was at the edge of women in the ministry. She served for 17 years as pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Manhattan Beach before she came here to Santa Barbara, where she is pastor of the Grace Lutheran Church. She had her education, her BA from Concordia College in Minnesota, which is just down the road from Lake Wobegon. And she then went to the Lutheran Theological School in Chicago and received her master's in theology, and then later attended Mount St. Mary's in Los Angeles, where she received a master's in applied spiritual theology. Quite a mouthful. Also, as part of her talents, she has been studying the Enneagram for the last 8 years. And the Enneagram, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is an ancient practice of trying to gain self-knowledge. And actually, they say that it may have gone back as far as Pythagoras, and the Desert Fathers worked with the Enneagram, and then the Sufis, the mystical branch of the Muslim church, they also used the Enneagram. So she then has been studying this for the last 8 years, and right now she is taking a course at Fielding and leading to a certificate, a coaching certificate. So she has been very busy in all kinds of fields. And I know that there's lots of us here who are familiar with the Enneagram. So, yes, you sort of know where it comes from. She also doesn't think of herself as being an expert in church history or the Reformation. So today she wants to bring us anecdotes and stories, quotes, and music from the Reformation period and from the Reformer himself, Pastor Lynn Brewer. All right, if all of you will go ahead and we'll sing our blessing on Lynn.